Need a Bible? The ushers have them. Why, it's right on top of it. Praise God. It's interesting to me. I don't know if you think in these terms when you're reading the Bible, but Gospel of John, of course, is a little different than the other three. Matthew, Mark, Luke are all. There's a lot of repeating back and forth of the incidents in Jesus' life, but John is focused on other things. Of course, love is a big part of what John was writing about. But up to in chapter 12 is a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then in chapter 13, all the way through 16, Jesus is sitting with his disciples and teaching them because he knows he won't be there for very long. So it's very important time. So it's a great few chapters to focus on if there's something you were considering, where should I read next? I mean, instruction to the disciples before he leaves is probably something very important. And then in chapter 17, he prays for himself, he prays for the disciples, he prays for the people in general. And in chapter 18, he gets arrested. In chapter 19, he gets crucified. Chapter 20, he gets raised from the dead. Praise God, praise God. And 21 is a great chapter because the resurrected Jesus comes back and breathes on his disciples. And they are born again and ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But in the midst of his teaching to the disciples, chapter 14, verse 16, this is how the Amplified Version, he said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Now, this is the reason I go over to the Amplified, because in order to try to interpret this word comforter or helper, they break it down into seven words: comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Now, there has to be something in there that would minister to us in all those different names. Again, comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Old Testament people, you know, had the Holy Spirit come upon them, and then he would move on. Prophets, priests, and kings particularly would have the Holy Spirit on them for a while, but it wasn't a permanent thing like we get to have him in the New Testament. Good news. Amen? Okay, he may remain with you forever. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, world cannot welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him." Now, what I see in there, different things you can see, but one of the things I see is you don't get baptized in the Spirit until you're born again. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get born again first. And we're going to talk more about that along the way, too. You can't take him into your heart until you have been made new in Christ Jesus. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Now, that would have been a big change for them. One thing to be with them, but another thing to be living on the inside of them. Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you." And he's coming back in the form of this Holy Spirit. When he says, "I'm going to give you another comforter," there are two different words in the New Testament for another. One's another of a different kind, and this is another of the same kind. So when Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you another comforter," here he's saying, "I'm going to give you one just like me." Now again, what we have to do is consider here, these are the disciples that they've been with him for probably 3.5 years and dependent upon him for everything, for their direction, for their sustenance, for everything. He would meet with the big three, Peter, James, and John, but he would meet with all of them. He discussed things along the road. He was opening up the will of God into their lives. And now he's saying, "I'm going to go." And in their mind, up to this point, they think he's going to take things over, set up a kingdom here on earth. It would be like he's going to be the president, and they'll all be on his cabinet. and I'll be part of what's going on. And now he's saying, but I'm going to go. Well, that'd be very hard to hear. But he said, I'm not leaving you alone. You're not going to be on your own. I'm going to send somebody just like me. He's going to come back, and he will be. See, he said, I won't leave you. We're all these ways. Comfortless. I won't leave you as orphans. Comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. Praise God. Even in the midst of difficult situations happening around us, we have on the inside of us the Holy Spirit, who is here to make sure that we're not alone. Now, I'm sure you have at times felt alone, but that's because we're still learning to really give place to the Holy Spirit, don't you think? Because he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. David in the Old Testament said, Lord, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. We don't have to be actually praying that because something's going to happen. But on the other side of that, sometimes we go places, we do things as if he's not there. We're not thinking about him being part of what we're doing. We're not asking him to help us to be led in the right directions. So it's almost like he isn't there. He needs to be there. So I was thinking about this, and really what I want us to think about this morning is this relationship that we have. I think in social media language, there's this thing, BFF, which if I understand right, is best friends forever. I get that right? Yes? No? Okay. And I think if you think in terms of that, maybe it would help you to understand what this is all about, that this friendship, this relationship that we have, because he's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. I think sometimes people were afraid to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He might make them do something they didn't want to do. And they come to a church like this and see people on the floor and stuff like that. And I don't know about that. You know, I've seen the fearful look on people's faces of, wow, I hope that doesn't happen to me. There was a friend of ours, I think his first name was George, came to the church when we were still meeting in Boston Spa. And he came to show that this stuff wasn't real. And pretty soon he found himself on the floor. Because you don't tell God, no, not me. Because when you begin to open yourself up to these things, it's too good to pass up. And you might find yourself drunk and can't drive home, right? We're on the floor laughing out loud. Praise God. The Holy Spirit. Best friends. I haven't been on Facebook for a long time. I don't understand all the IT parts of it, but I know that I'm pretty sure that you can have these friends and you can unfriend them, right? But you can also you don't look at their stuff anymore. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. I think that's what we've done with the Holy Spirit sometimes. But you know what? Even know. I don't know. Can people tell when we've been? Can I tell if I've been unfriended? I can cry. Maybe some of you did it. I don't know the way they're looking at me. But you understand what I'm saying? I think we're sometimes like this with the Holy Spirit. All right, he's my friend. I hooked up with this when I was 12. But I'm really not too interested in what he might have to say. Don't want his direction for my life. I want to find my own way. We have most of us have a control issue. I want to be in control. And we are in control in the long run, but we ought to be wanting to have help from him. Consider some of these scriptures from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 24, this is out of the New Living Bible, New Living Translation. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. I know there's different translations of that, but there is a real friend who sticks closer than a brother. Certainly that would be Jesus, but the representation for Jesus, as far as we're concerned now, is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? And that's the kind of friend that he wants to be. Now, I was thinking about it in biblical terms, in biblical illustration, who would be that kind of friend? If you know the story of David and Jonathan, they were that kind of friends. When Jonathan's dad, Saul, is trying to kill David, and Jonathan would, sometimes at the risk of his own life, protect him, that's real friendship. That's this kind of friend. Hopefully you've all had that and have now that kind of earthly friend in your life. It makes a difference when you have friends like that, because we've all had friends that they weren't that way. It is that foul weather friends or whatever you call them. When everything is going well, they're for you, but what if it's not, they're not. David and Jonathan, even to Jonathan's death, were friends together, and David wept over Jonathan when he died. Now back to chapter 17, Proverbs 17, 17. A friend is always loyal. I think it's also a New Living Translation. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Sometimes we don't want to be around when people need something, but we need to be, if you're a true friend, you're there when they need you. Again, going to the story of David and Jonathan. Have you heard of this young man in the Old Testament named Mephibosheth? How many have heard of Mephibosheth? How many can spell Mephibosheth? I can't, okay. This was Jonathan's son, and in the process of Saul messing up like he did, and then David taking over after him, I think it was Mephibosheth's nurse tried to pick him up and run off with him and dropped him, and so he ended up lame. But they carried him away, and they hid him from David, and they told him, he was instructed basically that David was after him. And when David found him, he's going to kill him. Well, David, after he established himself in the kingdom as the leader, he started to look. He said, does Jonathan have any kids that we can bless him? Because he remembered his relationship with Jonathan. And they started looking around and found Mephibosheth and called him out. Well, he was scared because he'd been told you're going to lose your life when he finds you. But David brought him in and served him a big meal and took good care of him the rest of his life because of the relationship that he had with Jonathan. And this is the kind of friend that the Holy Spirit wants to be with us. And we need to learn to have that relationship with him and have that kind of relationship with each other. Chapter 27 in Proverbs. Verse 17. You use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Now, this is when it's not as much fun. This is when you rub each other the wrong way. But if you have the kind of relationship that you can have with a friend, he can rub you the wrong way and you're still okay. The Holy Spirit can say, stop doing that. The Holy Spirit will never put us down. Never judges, but he would say, stop doing that, that's hurting you, and we can still remain in relationship with him. And natural friends that way too. This lady right here is my best friend, along with all the other relationships that she has, more than she really wanted to have, but she's got them. She is also, this is Diane, her personality, her temperament is such, she's going to tell it like it is. I don't always like it when she tells it like it is. But we have the kind of relationship that we can work through that. Sometimes we don't talk for a while. Sometimes we disagree on how things should be done, but we can eventually talk through things because we've made up our mind at the beginning. The relationship matters. Being together matters. And when you do that, you can work through a lot of different things. I can see that you really are excited about that. Praise God. The thing about the Holy Spirit is one of the things that we forget is this is God himself living on the inside of us. This is the third person of the Trinity. This is not some, you know, the force is with you or something like that. This is, it's a real person who lives on the inside. A lot of times, I think the old King James will say the Holy Spirit itself, and really should say the Holy Spirit himself, because he's a real being. And we need to cultivate this relationship with him, because from his side, he's wide open. He's ready to help us. I heard somebody say, I think it was Pastor Jay Francis, said years ago, and this really stuck with me, relationships are like bridges. And so we have different kinds of relationships with different people. Some of the relationships that we have are like a footbridge. You can talk about the weather, you can talk about different things like that, but you can't put too much weight on that bridge. And then some relationships are like the, whatever they call the big bridge that goes over into Scotia, or into Schenectady, Gateway Bridge, where you can drive tractor trailers, you can drive anything over it. Well, that's the kind of relationship that we need to have with the Holy Spirit, obviously, where we can talk about anything. And I've found it to be true, and hopefully you have too. It's not that we need to be whining all the time, but I can even whine and he doesn't go away. I can vent. And it's okay. He doesn't get mad at me and say, well, that's it. I'm not hanging around you anymore. Now, it wouldn't be the way to talk to him all the time. But every once in a while, I mean, rarely, but once in a while, you just need to say, this is how I'm feeling. And you know what he knows anyway. So we might as well be honest and talk about it. We need to have that kind of relationship. That Gold Gate Bridge relationship, that heavy, we can talk about anything relationship. And not only you to him, but him to you. That he can talk to you about anything. Because when it comes down to it, he's not only God, he's on call 24/7. I found him to be available at 2 o'clock in the morning. Try to find somebody else who is. He's not moody. He loves you unconditionally. Nothing can separate from his love. He not only is wise, he is wisdom. He doesn't judge, and he's totally loyal. How can you get a better friend than that? And he lives right there on the inside of you. All right, back to John's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse 13. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You want to know about what's going to happen in the future, as far as things we're allowed to know, go to the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, for he will glorify me, Jesus is saying, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. One of the things you could say, if somebody says, the Holy Spirit says something to me and it doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Just because something felt supernatural doesn't necessarily mean it was the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is always going to lift up Jesus, always going to point us to Jesus. He is not looking to make disciples to himself. He's not looking to make disciples to me or to you. He's looking to make disciples to the Lord Jesus. One of the commentaries says it this way, the Spirit teaches us the Word, and the Word of God, and guides us into all truth. If you want to really understand the Word, rely on the Holy Spirit. He'll show you things. I was at Ramah years ago, and one of our teachers was Bobby Andian. Bobby Andian is a Greek and Hebrew scholar, especially Greek scholar. And he was telling how he had been doing some studies, digging out the words. I like to do this too. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can use Strong's and Vines and so on. And he was digging into this word and trying to get the most out of it. And it's fun to do. It's enlightening when you find out what the original words really mean. And then he came to church that night, and Brother Hagin was speaking. And Brother Hagin just blurted out everything that he'd found by studying into the Greek. Brother Hagin got by the Holy Spirit. And Brother Hagin used to say, I don't know Hebrew, homebrew, or anything else. That was one of his sayings. It wasn't because he was a Greek scholar. It was because he knew this Holy Spirit. He wrote a really good book. You want to read a good book? It's Being Led by the Spirit by Kenneth Hagin. We'll open up some things to you in this area of being led by the Spirit. And then he goes, this commentary goes on to say, he reminds us of what Jesus has taught so that we can depend on his word in difficult times of life. The Holy Spirit teaches us the word, reminds us of what Jesus taught so that when we hit a difficult time, it's easier for us to believe. It's easier for us to continue to trust. I guess I'm trying to get across to us, cultivate this relationship. Think about the fact that this Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Pray in tongues. And Diane gave the challenge for this month of learning to, every day, spend some time in praying in tongues, because it stirs that up and we're reminded he's not way off somewhere. It's not the forces with you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the third part of the Trinity living on the inside, giving you a prayer language to talk to God. All right, I'm going to take a quick trip back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 58. In verse 8, it's a good chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah 58, 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. I like that. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I think the old King James says rear reward. Your rear guard. The righteousness goes before us. Remember, Paul said that righteousness is a shield. It protects us from the front. How does that work? Because we know who we are in Christ. We know we're okay. We're as we should be. Protects us from what we're seeing in front of us. But the Holy Spirit goes along. I believe it's the Holy Spirit, the glory of God, glory of the Lord, as our rear guard. So really what it comes down to is nobody can sneak up on you either if you recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Have you ever looked back on something and think, boy, that could have been a lot worse? That happened to all the people around me, but it didn't happen to me. Well, probably the Holy Spirit was doing his job. Amen. I was kind of trying to witness this guy when I was driving a truck, and he would check me in when I'd bring the soda to the store that he was working in. And he was telling me one day he had a car accident and the windshield exploded and glass was everywhere around him on the seat, but not on him. And he was quite taken back by that. He didn't think that was significant. But he was kind of giving credit to some supernatural protection of some kind. You know, some people, they've seen as believing, not even seeing as believing. Believing's believing. And he had something to see and believe and didn't even take that. But this Holy Spirit's working for us. A lot of times when we haven't even recognized it, we can look back and say, wow, man, that could have been really bad. But he was there. So, you know, it's really easy to focus on things that broke down that we wished hadn't. You don't think about the things that didn't break down sometimes, because the Holy Spirit's at work for us and in us. Back to the New Testament, John chapter 14 again, verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus speaking. I can see him doing it. I can see him holding the peace out there because I love peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Or we would say, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Why? Because he's given us his peace. And I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit to enhance that peace, to see that we get the peace, to remind us about the peace. And I've talked to people, and they would give anything for peace. Well, it's available, praise God. It's been given to us. Sometimes I try to picture the peace coming off of Jesus to me and my turmoil and trouble going off of me onto him. The Bible says that he cares for us, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for us, not to be weighed down by those things. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He helps us to pray. He helps us to pray. And what this basically says is we don't always know how to pray. We don't always know what we should ask for. When you ask correctly, you get an answer. It's the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And since we know he hears us, we know we have those petitions granted to us, praise God. But there's times when you just don't know. And it's interesting the way it's worded here. Though the Spirit himself also helps in our weaknesses. The word helps is a three-part word. He takes hold together with against. The Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against. So we have a situation in each prayer, something that's coming at us or whatever, and he will take hold together with us against that. And it says specifically in our weaknesses, which you could translate as our inability to produce results. He will help us when we can't produce the results, when we can't make it happen the way that we know it should. The Holy Spirit will take hold together with us against the situation. It's better news than y'all are showing. Praise you, Father. So help us when we pray. Now, I've shared over the years, there's a couple of situations where I could see the difference between the two, the difference between trying to do it without the Holy Spirit and doing it with the Holy Spirit. When I was at Northeast Bible Institute way back in the 60s, yeah, I'm that old, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had just the feeling that something was wrong at home. I was only about 100 miles from home, but for some reason I couldn't get a hold of anybody on the phone. And so I paced up and down to Green Lane, Pennsylvania, trying to figure out what to do. I never did get a hold of anybody, never did find out what was going on. It was just one awful night. And then time went on. Years later, I was at Rhema. This was in 78, 79. And I had a half an hour drive from where we were in Collinsville, Oklahoma, down to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where Rhema was. And on the way down, I used to listen to the radio, but this morning I had the sense to pray. So I prayed in the Spirit all the way down. In the meantime, between those two situations, I had begun to learn about the Holy Spirit. Some of the things that we learned growing up were not right. We thought we had a tarry for the Holy Spirit. We did. We thought you could only pray in tongues when you were stirred up, and you can pray in tongues anytime. We learned some things over the years. So I began praying in tongues, and I prayed, and when I pulled into Ramus parking lot, I had the sense it was done. I was taken care of. Well, my mother-in-law came to visit us soon after that, and she was there a few days, and she said, "Did you hear what happened to your dad?" Well, my dad had been out of work, and he was on his way back to work, and he came to an intersection where he had the right of way, and a truck came the other way and hit him broadside, and he was thrown out of the truck, thrown out of his car, and sprawled in the grass or whatever, and all he ended up with was some scratches. And so we began to compare notes, and it turned out I was in Oklahoma praying at the same time he was driving back to work, God was looking for somebody to pray. You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't really have time, but that sometimes God's looking for somebody to pray, looking for somebody who'll pray in the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know how to pray, I didn't know what was going on. I had a sense it was Dad, but I didn't know what was going on, and I prayed, and I wish I'd been that obedient every time, but thank God for the times we were. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will move in our lives that way. Praise God. He wants to help us pray. One of the ways that we don't sometimes know how to pray, let's say a friend of yours is trying to decide whether they should move away or not. Well, you don't want them to move away, but maybe God does. So how do you pray? In tongues. And then it'll be taken care of correctly.
One of the things I love about the Holy Spirit is that you can just be doing your ordinary stuff and you can be led in a certain way. I've shared with you about my sister in California, that she's going through chemo for some stuff. And I encourage her a lot. And I had shared with you that right away when she told me it had come back, I shared with her, if you can believe, she's a very positive person. She's a believer. I mean, it's a long story, but anyway. I was very fatigued Wednesday night. You know how every now, well, maybe it doesn't happen to you guys, but I just felt like, okay, I just need to rest. No texting, no talking, no family members, nothing. And I think I was watching TV, and Lisa sent me a text, because being in California, the way we visit is on the phone or texting and emailing. And she said, hey, Mary, you feel like talking? And I went back and I said, you know what, Lisa? I just feel really, really fatigued. I really think I need to rest tonight. Is that okay with you? She said, fine, I'm resting too. And I said, okay. I said, maybe we'll talk over the weekend or sometime soon. And we continued to text. And I said, hey, Lise, how about, because I've got an ear thing, I can legally talk on my cell phone. It doesn't last long. My brother gave it to me. It's kind of old, but long enough. I said, I can talk to you coming or going from my class on Thursday night at church. She said, no, I'm going to be busy. I said, okay, we'll catch up. I think it was Thursday, or maybe Wednesday night, I was watching TV, and the latest Walmart commercial came on. And my ears perked up, because whenever I hear a song, We Win, right away, you know what I'm going to be thinking of, We Win. And Lisa and I are hip-hop fans. We love pop music. We've always loved hip-hop. It's really nice to have somebody else that I can talk to about these things. I don't go by age, but who isn't, you know. You don't find too many people as they get older liking that kind of music. But anyway, I texted her right away. I said, Lise, I just heard your song. And she said, what was it? I said, I went on the internet and I looked and I mentioned the hip hop guys. And I said, it's all about We Win. I found the song, I sent it to her. I said, every time you go to the doctors, they tell you your markers are down. Every time you're better, you win, we win. And I was encouraging her. And she loved the song, and she was really happy, and we continued to text for the next couple of days, and everything was great, and thank you so much, Mayor. I really appreciate you being there. And I'm like, Lisa, it's fine. It's so great we can share this. So last night, about 7 o'clock, she sent me a text. I was just getting ready to watch a nice Hallmark movie. I love Hallmark. Anyway, she said, Mayor, do you feel like talking? And I said, sure, call me on my home phone. I don't like calling on talking on cell phones, and I do have a landline. Anyway, she called, and I said, how are you? And she said, okay. I said, what's wrong? When she had a mastectomy, where they cut her, maybe about 8 years ago, they removed some of the lymph glands, and she has lymphedema in her arm, and occasionally it gets really swollen, and she get really sick from it. And she told me, she said, Mayor, Thursday, I started not feeling well. It got really hot and red. The skin was tight. And she said, it just makes me not feel good. I mean, she's not a complainer. Here we're texting and emailing, and she's so happy. Thank you so much. And she said, so consequently, I've been in bed for 3 days. I mean, that was the Holy Spirit having me call her and encouraging her while she's going through this stuff. And the communication never stopped. And I said, Lisa, I'm so glad you're feeling better. I'm really sorry you went through that. And we talked. I sent an email out to my sisters because we all like to be on top of things. And I said, Lise, you know, you can tell us this type of thing. She said, I don't want to bother you guys. I don't want to give bad news 3,000 miles away. I said, Lise, we're going through this with you. And anyway, I sent her an email this morning. I said, Lise, I saw the commercial. I couldn't remember where it was from. I said, it's the latest Walmart commercial, believe it or not. But it just amazes me how good God is. Because, okay, what if I wasn't too tired to talk? We would have talked before that happened. You know what I mean? And then everything happened right after that. And it was just so nice how God worked it all in. And I could encourage her, because it's not me, it's him. Yeah. And this morning on the way in, I heard another song, an old song, Joe Cocker, It's High Time We Win. And I thought, that is so us. And Jess, that was Thursday night I was telling you about that song. I said we'd be so great if we had a song like that in our church, which we do, kind of. But just that we win, you know, that there is no stopping us. We win. So I'm encouraged, and she's feeling so much better and was going to do good stuff today. And God is good.
Amen. Amen.
Let me give you one more scripture, and then we'll go over and go back into worship. Jude, verse 20 and 21. There's only one chapter. Next, the last book in the Bible. Jude, verse 20. This is out of the Message translation. I hadn't seen it in this translation before. But you, dear friends, carefully build up yourselves in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. Keep your arms open and outstretched, ready for mercy, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. This is the unending life, this is the real life. The prophet in the Old Testament says this is the refreshing, and he was implying praying in the Spirit, although you wouldn't have understood that back then. It's refreshing. It charges our battery. It works wonders in our direction and doesn't cost anything. Doesn't really even cost all that much time. It's something you can even do. Sometimes when you're doing something else, there's no sign that says you can't text and drive, but you can pray in the Spirit and drive. Praise God. Although don't get too carried away. You may want to pull over. But praise God for this language, this person that we have available to us, not only on the inside, but come upon us and give us the ability to minister by the anointing. Amen? Let's worship him.